We've been talking the last few weeks about this really important subject in the scriptures, this idea of Sabbath jubilee, the importance of resting in God. I personally need this message again and again, it seems. I just can't get it in my head. It takes me a bit. If you're anything like me, it takes us a bit to let the gospel really sink in down deep enough to really take hold of my living. We need it again and again. And so here we are again. Our gospel scripture for this week is from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is a great gospel story with Jesus here and Mary and Martha. When Mary is sitting and listening at the feet of Jesus. Martha struggling, worried, distracted by many things and missing Jesus there with them. Mary had found the better way, Jesus says, sitting there with Jesus for that time. When it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the stories in the Gospels, there's really always something deeper with the stories in the Gospels. There's something more to the message. The singular message of most any Gospel story, it's usually just really a part of the whole. There's more with Jesus. There's something we don't want to miss that turns the whole thing upside down, turns the whole thing around. And our story today, I think, is what can kind of turn it all around for us. If you read in the Gospel of Luke, just before our story today, Jesus is trying to teach us about what it means for us to be a disciple. When a lawyer comes up to question Jesus, and you know the story, and they talk about the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and your strength and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then to illustrate, then Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. He told this parable right before he came to the house of Mary and Martha, the Good Samaritan. And in that parable, Jesus shows us what it looks like to love our neighbors, love your neighbor. A man serves selflessly. And Jesus says at the end, he says, "Go and do likewise." And the message for us disciples is serve like this. Go, do likewise. And then we have this story with Mary and Martha that turns it all around. It's another message entirely. If you know anything about good church people, then you know that Martha is doing everything right. Martha is doing everything right. She is the perfect picture of a good church lady. She is up on her feet. She is serving. She is doing everything, anything and everything around the place, doing whatever needs to get done. I don't know what we would do without Martha's. I don't know what we would do. But this time it's Mary that Jesus praises here. Martha is worried, distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the better part somehow, sitting there at the feet of Jesus. If Jesus is teaching us how to be a disciple, we know the story. We have to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have to serve selflessly. Go and do likewise, Jesus says. But there's the other half of it too. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor. Love of God and neighbor. It's both. We have to have the first to have the second. Love God and love neighbor. And Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, is loving God. She shows us this other half of the picture. It is more shocking to our good Christian sensibilities than we might want to think at first, but it's been taught to us. You serve selflessly. You do whatever needs done. You work hard for God. God's not really someone you want to disappoint, really. But Mary has chosen the better part, Jesus says. There's a story about a head bishop who was asking one of his ministers about what he would do if he one day he looked out the window and he actually saw God coming, walking toward his door. And after a moment's thought, the minister answered. He said, I guess I would try to look very busy. I try to look very busy. We'd want to try to look busy, you know. I think we often identify far more easily with Mary, with Martha, than with Mary. If you have a choice between doing an act of service or quiet prayer or contemplation, it seems that service is the way to go. It's the way to go. And stopping the working, stopping everything doesn't usually feel all that much like the good Christian thing to do. Doesn't feel all that holy. Doing more makes us feel holy. Mary has chosen the better part, Jesus says. Mary has chosen the better part, but Martha, she's worried. She's distracted by many things. Mary shows us the better way. Dallas Willard was asked about what was the most important insight for the spiritual life for us today. And he responded, he said, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. What else? No, that's the one thing he said. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry, he said. And Dallas pointed out that really, there's a big difference between being busy and being hurried. Busyness is just inevitable in our culture, it seems. And though it's definitely a problem, being hurried, always hurried, is something deeper. He said that being hurried is an inner condition, a condition of the soul. It means to be so preoccupied with myself and my life that I'm unable to be fully present, to sit and be fully present with God, with myself, with other people. Busyness turns into hurry when we let it squeeze God out of our lives. Causes us to be an unavailable to God. Linda Stone, a technology expert, says that the disease of our now internet age, she says, is a continuous partial attention to all things. Just partial attention to all things. Things just get part of my attention. We're pulled this way and that way by any number of things, giving pieces of our focus and our attention to things, only a part, never the whole. And perhaps it's not just a disease of this age. Maybe it's really an old problem. We can have this kind of spiritual struggle within ourselves, in our own hearts, this pull we have between Mary and Martha. Am I worried, distracted by many things? Am I worried, distracted by many things? Or am I doing the one thing that is needed? Jesus is trying to pull us to focus on him, to give him our full attention, to move away from being worried and distracted by so many things and to a place where we can really to focus in on the one thing that is needed. God wants my whole self, my whole attention, my whole focus. There's a lady, Marla Runyon, who was incredibly close to qualifying for the Olympic Games in 1996 as a runner. But undeterred by that failure, she missed it the first time. But undeterred, she tried again in 2000, and she made the team for the Sydney Olympics. And then her eighth place finish in the 1500 meter race was the best finish ever for a United States woman runner. And the remarkable thing about Runyon's accomplishments is it's not just her amazing abilities, but that through all of that, she was actually doing it all while she was legally blind. She's the first legally blind athlete to ever qualify and compete in the Olympic Games. And after her Olympic career, she switched over to running marathons. And in 2002, she had the second fastest debut marathon time by an American woman. Runyon, she can only see shapes and blurs. But she says that really her lack of vision, it's actually an asset to her. It's actually an asset. She just focuses on the finish line, focuses in front of her, rather than looking around to see what other runners are doing. Not having visual distractions helps her compete and win her races. And the same thing can be true in our lives. There will always be things, many things, that try to pull our attention away from what we should be focused on, what is most important. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. Focus in on the one thing that is needed. Just one thing. One thing, Jesus says. One thing. And the gift, the grace here is that Jesus says to our worried, our distracted minds, amidst all the things that we've got to get done, that there's really just one thing that's needed, just one thing. He's trying to tell us that sometimes there's really only one thing that's needed, and it's not more doing. It's just more Jesus. Just Jesus, a gift and a grace. Just sit and let him love you. John Ortberg said that God's plan is not just for us to be saved by grace. It is for us to also live by grace. We can live by grace, resting in that grace of God. Because of the gift and grace of Christ, we can live beyond the need for more doing and settle into the grace of God that sustains us. Lately, I've usually been the one to get my son Ollie ready for bed and read to him and everything before we lay him down. And if he has a favorite number, if he has a favorite number of books for bedtime or really about anything, but definitely for bedtime books, his favorite number is the number too many. Too many is his favorite number. I'll tell him, you can pick out three books. And he'll go and he'll come back barely able to bear the weight of this giant stack of books that then comes crashing to the floor, crashing to the ground as he comes into the room. This is a nightly ritual. Every night, go pick out three, pile of books on the floor. And then he'll say, "That's not too many. It's not too many." Yeah, that's too many, buddy. The other day I was getting him ready for bed and he was picking out his stuffed animals for the night, and he grabbed his puppy and his other puppy, and then he got his lion that he got from Susie, and then he reached to grab his giraffe, and then he tried to get his monkey, but the problem is little arms just really can only hold so much. So by the time he was trying to stuff the fourth animal into his arms, the others were just popping out on the everywhere as he tried to get a hold of a giraffe. Puppy fell on the floor, and you can't have that, you know. And so he picked him back up, and then he lost his lion. And I was able to watch and just witness this cycle repeat itself three or four times. This animal's popping out of his arms, trying to contain it all. before he finally realized, this is too many, he said. This is too many. Yeah, buddy, you know, why don't we pick just one? Why don't we pick just one? Just one. All too often, we are trying desperately, juggling far too many things. It's our favorite number when it comes to life. Way too many, way too many. And sometimes what we need is just one thing, just one thing. Just Jesus. Just Jesus for a time. Set the rest aside. There's just one thing needed of us. Just sit, settle into the grace of God that can fill us up, that can sustain us, that can ready us for the work that's ahead. Amen.